We are nearly 8.5 billion people, and we are lonely. So in a pretty crowded world, people are feeling lonely. Well, there is a societal or sociological aspect to it, but loneliness per se is not a social phenomenon. It is a psychological phenomenon that sitting among a crowd of people, you can still feel lonely. Being with people who love you, even if you are loved and cared for, still you could feel lonely because it's a psychological phenomenon. You can make yourself lonely just about anywhere. So one important aspect, I'm trying to, say something about the society, but my main focus is on the individual. One thing that's happened in the society is the value of solitude is gone. What it means to be in solitude, most profound time of your life. This is the time you soak up life. So one thing was maintained in yogic cultures. How much time you spend in imbibing things or perceiving things, and how much time you spend in expression. This must be 1:3. If you are 2/3 of the time imbibing, 1/3 if you express, your expression will be profound and worthwhile for everybody. It will not be just noise in the world. It will be of some value. But today, because of very early opportunities to express, even a 6-year-old child has something to say on the Facebook. When you're a child, it's to wonder, imbibe the world. That's a phenomenal creation. You must imbibe as much as you can before you find a word for it. But for everything, we have a word, and a whole lot of words are turning filthy. In this expression, there is no opportunity to perceive and imbibe life, simply like a noise going on. So as human becomes more and more din, then being lonely is a natural consequence. This is just one aspect. There are many, many aspects to it. This is not a simple issue. This is a massive issue. And it's one of the fastest growing problems on the planet. So in this world, if we just let it be as is and just go on, technology is progressing, and especially expressive technologies are going to multiply in ways that you have not imagined in the next 4 to 5 years' time with the AI and all these things. If this happens and we don't do anything about it, it's possible that in another 10 to 15 years' time, there will not be a single family without at least one person who is mentally broken. Already we have achieved some landmarks. Slowly it is, there is almost no family over 40 years of age without some kind of prescription medication going on, physical stuff and whatever. But that will become common for mental things. Physical ailments are painful, but mental ailments are painful beyond imagination. Physical pain, you understand, and everybody has compassion for that. With mental pain, you don't know. You don't know whether they're acting up, are they really helpless? What is happening, you can't figure, because they flip from this to that and that to this. There is no one gauge for it. Nobody can clearly say this is it. This is the nature of psychological issues that I have seen so many people. It just beats you. If you try to hold them this way, they'll fall there. If you try to hold them there, they'll fall here, So this could become a massive problem. All the things, many, many things that we have achieved in the last 100 years as humanity, as human societies, it's wasted when we cannot see. Life is far more comfortable physically than ever before in the history of humanity. Particularly, I'm warning the woman. You are the first generation who is enjoying the level of freedom and comfort and convenience that a woman has ever had in the history of humanity. Never before. Hello? This we should not slip out of our hands and fall. That's where we are. If we don't do the right things now, if we don't take a massive action without indiscriminate action, without borders of nationality, race, religion, this, that, indiscriminate action for the human species to see that they stabilize their software. If we don't do this, all this development, all these conveniences, all the wonderful things that technology has heaped upon us, everything will go waste because we are not okay here. Already you're seeing it. People are driving chariots, what no emperor could have. The greatest emperors had 12 horses on their chariots. But you're driving chariots with 600 horses, at least 250. But they're driving their dream car. How many of them are driving blissfully or joyfully or at least peacefully? You just stop the traffic for 2 minutes, they'll be freaking. After all, they're sitting in their dream car. Why can't they sit there for some more time and enjoy it? They always wanted that car. If somebody forces you to stay in your dream car or your dream home, you must enjoy it. You saw the pandemic time. They forced you to stay in your dream home. What mess? So there is a difference between masking our illness, avoiding our illness, and being healthy. This is a distinction we must set clearly. This is for individuals. Mass application is different. We can only create facility. We can facilitate a few things here, there. But individuals should set a clear standard for themselves how to be. Well, it's easier said than done, because human beings are not committed to their well-being, unfortunately. They want well-being to come to them. They're not committed to creating it. Unless they commit to creating it, really loneliness, or when I say loneliness, I see it as an incubation period for mental illness. You're incubating trouble. It will come. How soon, how later, what is the volume of trouble you will get may vary from person to person, because this depends on genetics, this depends on social support that you have, your own intelligence, whatever, many, many factors. But is it coming? It is coming for everybody, because the moment you start feeling lonely, lonely means just this. The loneliness is of time. When I say loneliness is of time, that is, you sit here, time doesn't roll for you. If you look at this, this is always rolling. Hello? The time is always rolling. We don't have to spend it. If you sit here, it goes away. This is the beauty of life, and this is also the terror of life, because life is going away. As I sit here, whoa, 1 more minute gone of my life. Yes or no? Not watch ticking, life is going away. So it is of time. If time becomes burdensome on you, that it rolls too slow, already you become lonely. That is why it is so. Loneliness does not necessarily mean there are no people around you. That's not the point. It is not about people. People are a little bit of an antidote. Maybe you find some release, but release is just a mask or just a little bit of arrangement. Loneliness is essentially happening because there is nothing beyond your thought and emotional process. You have become just physiological and psychological process. There is nothing more profound happening within the human being. Even if thought became profound, then also you wouldn't become lonely. If your thought and emotion happened the way you want, would you keep yourself joyful or miserable? Joyful. If you keep yourself joyful, when you're joyful, have you seen time? 24 hours just flips like that. When you're miserable, do you see how slow time rolls? So loneliness is of time, because life is of time. If you do not know how to ride the time, then the same cycles of time will crush you. Loneliness is that crush. If it crushes you further, then it becomes mental illness. And they're not two different things. They're progression. They're trying to imbibe music on the street when they're walking, or a podcast, or maybe they missed the lecture and they're listening to it on the street. We don't know. But I'm saying everything else in the world is missed except the phone screen. You know the cosmos through on the phone screen. What this essentially means is you have heaps of information and no experience about anything. So it gives you a false sense of knowing everything without knowing a damn thing about anything. This is not a problem of technology, because technology facilitates how we use it is individual choice. The cultivation of what we do in schools, in homes, this is important, because people have children, but their lives are such, they're still struggling with basic things in their own life, especially those who start drinking below 18 years of age. Psychological problems, if they have not gotten into it, it's a miracle. The strength of their system somehow held on. They may not be really mentally ill in terms of medical terms, but if something happens in the traffic, if you have to yell at somebody, you're mentally ill, in my opinion. All of us are driving something, somebody made a mistake, somebody made a wrong turn. If you have to yell obscenities, then you're mentally ill. But that's being normalized. One of the biggest dangers for this society is, both in the normal society and in the medical fraternity, we're making illness normal. Normalization of illness. This is very dangerous. oh, how can we set such a standard nobody can reach? It's not about a standard. It is just that normal means you're untroubled, either in body or mind. If I sit here, I have no troubles in my body or in my mind. This is health at a rudimentary level. We can raise it to other levels. Let's not go there. Just a rudimentary level. You're sitting here, your body is comfortable, your mind is comfortable. We can say you're healthy. Now, when we make it normal that you have this problem, it's okay because everybody has it. This is dangerous because once you set such a standard, they will push the boundary. They'll push the boundary. Then that guy was completely stoned out and like this in a zombie in many of the cities sitting there. He thinks he's normal. He thinks there's something wrong with you. You're going to work like a slave every day. One big mistake we have done as modern societies is to talk about freedom. Freedom is an experience. A very profound, fantastic, and most valuable human experience is freedom. But when we make it a social jingle, we're free, I'm free, you're free, now irresponsible behavior will come out of that. If you live responsibly, you will be free within yourself. If you aspire for freedom, you will become more and more irresponsible because doing freaky things looks like freedom. You're a young man, but we come from 60s where freedom, too much freedom, people did. And you know where it ended up. Because freedom is a consequence of living in a certain way. Freedom is not something that you do. You cannot do the consequence. You cannot do the fruit. You can only nurture the plant. Fruit has to happen. You must have the patience to wait. You must have the commitment to nurture. Otherwise, the fruit will not come. But right now, we are plucking the fruit out of a tree that is non-existent. Freedom without responsibility will naturally lead to freakier and freakier expressions of human mind. See, when you say somebody is a freak, essentially, it means they're a law. Yes, sir? If we say he's a freak, what we are saying is he doesn't belong to this. He's alone. If he became alone because he's in profound enjoyment of his solitude or his aloneness, fantastic. It's the best thing that a human being can do. But he's alone because of his irresponsible behavior or trying to do something just to stand out among people, now he will become lonely, inevitably. When a whole society tries that, then loneliness becomes a massive issue. And loneliness, as I said earlier, is an incubation period for more complex problems which will naturally evolve. It's very, very important that already it's manifesting in many different ways, but at least now, before it's too late, we're looking at loneliness. You're writing about loneliness, addressing loneliness, because if we don't address it at the right moment with the right amount of input into it, well, you'll have a world full of sick people. And many of you are, at least a few of you may know this, you don't have to be mentally ill. There's somebody around you. It is the most painful experience. If one person is mentally ill, at least 10 people will suffer immensely around them. Because that's the nature. If one person is physically ill, he will suffer, but others can tend to it. And you know, physical illness brings a lot of love, compassion, connection, everything. Mental illness is not like that. It's a dangerous direction to move in. Because if one person suffers mental illness, he ensures that everybody suffers. Not by intent, but that is the nature of that problem. So addressing these things at an early age becomes important, whether this irresponsible use of technology. You cannot stop technology, and it should not be stopped. It has to go where it goes. We are into a lot of transformational technology, but real work to transform human beings has not started yet. This is our problem. What we use, the material or the machines that we use, are going through the ceiling. We are still in the same caveman's position. If I just touch you, you'll growl like a caveman, even today. So I'm saying caveman handling all this advanced technology is not only dangerous to him, it's dangerous to the very existence of the planet. Because today we have enough technology, enough destructive power. When I say destructive power, don't think just nuclear bomb, something. Yes, that is definitely there. But there are so many ways to freak life for everybody around you today. And it's in the hands of just about everybody. It's just another few years where even little kids will figure out how to do this just for fun. You understand? They can freak your life. They can close down this. They can do that. Everything on their phone, they can do, because it's going there. And technology is running at such a pace, it's time that you upgrade your technology, that this must be upgraded. If this is not upgraded, then whenever we upgrade our activity without upgrading this one, then we will suffer. Right now, people are saying stress, anxiety, this, that. Well, they got a job that they wanted. And why are they stressing? They are not given a job that they don't want. They educated themselves for that. They applied for it and they got the job. Now they're stressful. It was like that some time ago. Now in the school itself, they're stressful. Nothing. Your parents are paying the fees. They're feeding you. They're dropping you. They're picking you up. But you're stressed. What is this about? We must understand, we just do not know how to manage human intelligence. When our intelligence turns against us, you can call it stress, you can call it anxiety, you can give it 1,000 names. It doesn't matter. Essentially, there is no system in the society to teach people how you should hold your intelligence. Because it's a sharp instrument. If you were an earthworm, you could hold it anyway. Some people believe earthworm has brains both at both ends. Not true, but a lot of people believe like this. So that level of brain, if you had, no problem, whichever way you use it. Once you have this level of intelligence, how you hold it, how you employ it is important, because it's a sharp instrument. Once you have a sharp instrument, how you conduct it, how consciously you apply it is very important. Essentially, it is compulsive behavior. Compulsive behavior means compulsiveness is essentially absence of consciousness. There is not enough consciousness to use what we have, whether the technology at hand or the greatest technology which is here, in a way that works for me and for everybody around me. If my own intelligence turns against me, no force in the universe can save me, yes or no? If your intelligence turns against you, you're finished. This is what mental illness means. But when we say stress is normal, you must understand you're working for creating a mentally ill world. You're working for creating a humanity which is mentally ill. Stress is not normal. When you were 5 years of age, joy was normal. Isn't it so? When did stress not become normal? Because you met all the wrong people. Or you are that wrong person. When did it become normal? People ask me, Sadhguru, how do you unwind, Sadhguru? What do you do in your life? I said, I don't wind myself up. So there is a massive perceptional dislocation about everything, because only information, no living experience. It is not just in terms of human connection. Definitely that is there. But in every way, among all the creatures that thrive on this planet, we are the only creatures who are referred to as being. We don't call either animals bigger than us or smaller than us as being, because they are all structured in such a way by nature that they are largely instinctual in their activity and reactions and responses to life. Or to be fair to them, maybe it's not like an exact percentage, but something like, for most creatures, 90% of who they are is determined by nature. 10% latitude they have to build their own personality. But with human beings, only 10% is by nature. 90% latitude is there. This is why you see this mess. This 90%, how to structure, what is the best way to build this 90% so that it works for this one and for everything around. This has not been looked at profoundly enough. The entire yogic system is about this. The yogic sciences are not, unfortunately, in the United States, yoga means twisting and turning. It is not about twisting and turning. There is a whole science. As there is a science and technology for external well-being, there is a whole science and technology for inner well-being. Essentially, science means we understand what's around us better. We perceive them not just by sight, little more, so that we know what to do. We've done a lot with the world. If you do any more, there'll be no world left to that extent. But nothing with this one. Fundamentals of our existence is neither understood nor experienced. Because whole life is structured in such a way, it's about doing, it's about dominance. It is not about being. Because people think being means no doing. Being means you will be useless for everything else. No. Only if a plant is rooted in the soil properly will the flower and fruit come out of it. One who has his roots hanging up there is not going to produce anything. So this culture of wanting to go somewhere always has to be reversed. If you sit here, you have no need to go anywhere. But if it's needed, you will go wherever. These philosophies and these things that are said, human is a social animal, we're trying to structure around that, no. Ignorance is bliss, no. Ignorance is far more damaging than evil. Far more evil than evil. Yes or no? So the most important thing is that human beings take charge of their body and their intelligence. First thing, our school system should come up with this. It's not just about learning ABC. Today the computer will do the ABC typing. You don't have to type it. See, my father's generation, they spent so much time on the copy book to get their handwriting right. We refused. We just scribbled whichever way we wanted. But today, in another few years, nobody will know how to write. Hello? Who's going to use paper and pencil or pen? Nobody's going to write anything. Everything is this, or maybe if you just speak, it'll do its own thing. So we're moving very fast outside, archaic inside. This is the dislocation you're seeing. You cannot slow down the outside. You cannot control the technology. You cannot control human aspirations on the world. Only way is you engage in a more meaningful way than the way we're doing right now. The way we're doing right now is wonderful for many of us, but a whole lot of them are beginning to suffer. Technology is very wonderful for me. These days I'm speaking in 24 languages, you know. If you have to learn one language to speak well, probably it would take 10 to 12 years of life to just pick up one new language and really get to a place where you can articulate well. But now I'm speaking in 24 languages without even knowing a word about the damn language. All right. These are not small things. These are fantastic things. But will they be fantastic in your experience? Or will it become great misery? Depends on who holds the technology. So there is no way to stop the technology. Policy making will never move at the pace of technology. Just know this. It's all empty talk. It cannot. In the very nature of things in a democratic society, policy making cannot move at the pace of technology. It'll never happen. Only after it's happened, it will try to fix it. Because that is the nature of technology. What tomorrow they'll come up with, you don't know today. It is not like other technologies we have seen. Okay, we got a steam engine. What is the next thing? It'll happen in the next 25 years. No. In the next 25 days, something may happen that we have not imagined possible. So when this is the pace at which it is moving, it's extremely important that we need to invest in human transformation. This mind, human mind, is the greatest miracle on the planet. Do you agree with me? No, you're looking for other kinds of miracles. This is the greatest miracle. Because whatever the greatest technologies that you're seeing, all are a dropout of this one, isn't it? You are very fascinated with your phone. It's a tiny drop of this one, yes or no? So, human mind is a miracle, but most human beings are using it as misery manufacturing machine. It is going into industrial scale. That's why the book and that's why the talk. Because individual suffering has always been there on the planet. But now, suffering is being on an industrial scale. That it may be mass production very shortly. So time to address it has come. But there is no substitute for individual people taking their physical and mental health as their personal responsibility. Not for a government to fix, not for a doctor to fix, not for anybody to fix. For me to ensure that I am physically, mentally healthy, because the privilege of being human will be lost otherwise.